Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick with Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach, bringing you episode number 21 of Snacks for the Brain.
We are so happy to interview Bill Snyder, Senior Science Writer in the Office of News and Public Affairs at Vanderbilt University Medical Center today.
All right, so we're here at Bosco's in Nashville, Tennessee with Bill Snyder. Tell me about your position at Vanderbilt. What exactly is your title?
All right, I have two titles. I'm Senior Science Writer, and I also edit the Medical Center's research magazine called Lens, A New Way of Looking at Science.
That's a beautiful magazine. It's not a subscription-based magazine, right? It goes out to professionals in the medical field?
It goes out to a diverse audience that includes alumni of the medical school and graduate school and scientists all over the country, but also members of Congress, executives of health-related corporations, members of the national news media, and it's a free subscription, so people who email us can get the magazine for free.
Great, and that will be available on the new website that's going to be released, I guess, in a couple of months from now, right?
Yeah, we hope sometime in the spring.
All right, and that'll be available here in the show notes. Feel free to come back and check that out, and I'll also make an announcement and a posting in the show notes as soon as it becomes available. There'll also be a link in the sidebar.
Great.
So all of this effort is in an effort to try to educate professionals in the medical field and politicians and educators about what?
Well, our general vision is to raise the public's awareness about the importance of biomedical research and the importance of supporting biomedical research, and also to help establish Vanderbilt as a thought leader, as someone, as an entity that is helping to guide the public discussion about the importance of science.
And why is science important?
Science is the future. Science is an unfettered science, so in other words, not applied science, allowing scientists to go wherever their imaginations take them. That's important because it ends up in discoveries that we can't even imagine now that will transform our lives, that will help cure disease, which is the area that our magazine focuses on, that will improve our ability to improve the lives of people around the world, and potentially will enable us to discover new worlds. One of the things that my teenage son is interested in is figuring out how to get people to go to Mars and return without losing all of their muscle and bone strength. And so if you could do that, then we could send people to Mars.
Well, it's interesting you should bring up space exploration because that's been an interest of mine for a while with the Via Dyra series. One of the important things about unfettered science seems to be the sort of collateral discovery of things. Look at what's come out of the space program. Diapers? Yes.
Right. Well, and heart monitors is a very classic thing. So that kind of collaboration is another thing that we focus on in the magazine. At Vanderbilt, there's a big effort, and the chancellor is pushing this, to bring together not only physicians, but the chemists, the biomedical engineers, the nurses, the people who focus on studies on the brain, even anthropologists, to try to solve problems together that each of them could not solve on their own.
What a worthwhile effort.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, in your course of work as an editor of Lens magazine, you also do a lot of the writing.
That's correct.
And what prepared you for all that writing?
Well, I have a history of 22 years in the news business. I was a newspaper reporter starting in 1980 and covered health care for newspapers in Nashville and also in Boston. But my first love was translating science and medical science for the lay public. And when Vanderbilt conceived the idea of this research magazine and asked me to develop it and edit it, I jumped at it.
Well, and that whole notion of bringing science to the lay public seems like a new one to me. I know that Vanderbilt now has a science communication.
Oh, an Office of Science Communication.
Right, and that's headed by Dr. Rick Chappell, who's participated with the Center for Science Outreach Programs. And I think you'll be hearing from him soon.
Right.
Dr. Chappell also does video conference presentations, and I understand you're going to be doing one upcoming, too. With any luck, I'm going to send you the schedule probably this afternoon.
Right.
You can take a look at the dates and times and see. We'd like to provide something about the importance of science communication. In my view, one of the big problems is the dearth of children who are choosing science as a career.
Right. And so science communication and science writing has a long history. I was trained at Stanford many years ago, but we are at an era now where we do need to encourage more kids to go into science or to consider science as a career. And there have been national reports, including one that one of our senators, Lamar Alexander, commissioned, that is finding that we are falling behind other countries, including China, in the number of scientists and engineers that we train.
Here comes the food. So I should mention, too, the sounds that you hear, the food being delivered. We're podcasting from Bosco's here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's an award-winning brew pub. We also have Jeff Hazelton, who's from the Center for Science Outreach, as a technology coordinator with us. Jeff, you want to say a few things?
We should talk about what you do, too, at some point.
Yeah, well, I guess you'll rope me in there, huh, sometime soon. And maybe with the new launch of the website that we're working on, kind of redesigning, you know, our website's, I don't know how many years it's been around, but it's kind of gotten to be a little tough to navigate and things like that. So kind of just start over from scratch, I think. And,
so when you see a new website at the Center for Science Outreach, you'll see Jeff's handiwork.
It's my fault.
We've been talking with J.P.
Cartier.
My wife won't let me say that because Cartier, she says I butcher the French language.
Who is the webmaster for the Lens magazine. So he is an X-ray crystallographer who has gone into designing websites, science websites. And so he is designing a website for Lens magazine.
I guess we're going to get to our lunch here, and maybe we'll pick this up in a little bit after we talk about what we're going to talk about.
Three delicious sandwiches later, we were back at it. You really didn't want to hear me chewing anyway, did you?
Okay, so we finished lunch pretty much, and all of a sudden it's much quieter in here. And maybe you'll be able to hear. I apologize for the loud background ambiance earlier, but I kind of hope that it adds to the live feel of this. I'm talking with Bill Snyder. And I've got a couple of questions to ask. One is, in all the articles you've written for Lens magazine, which was the most fun to write? I'm all about the fun.
The most fun so far. I love doing profiles. And what we try to do, we profile famous scientists. And the reason is, we want to tell the story of how they got involved in science. Why? What motivates them? What's important to them? So this summer, I got to interview Nora Balkov. She is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. She is very famous for her PET image studies, which is positron emission tomography, studies of the brain of people who are addicted to drugs. She was one of the first people who found that cocaine causes brain damage. Back in the early 80s, they used to think that cocaine was a quote-unquote safe party drug. And she found through these PET scans that it causes little hemorrhages, little bleeds in the brain that can cause brain damage. Well, now she's the director of the institute that gives most of the funding, most of the federal funding for studies on how to treat drug abuse in this country.
Well,
she is also a fascinating person because she is the great-granddaughter of Leon Trotsky, who was one of the Russian revolutionaries, and she was raised in Mexico City.
Whoa, so she's got a whole cross-cultural thing going.
And the legacy from her great-grandfather, who she never knew, is not only some kind of revolutionary approach to dealing with drug abuse, but also the legacy of service to humanity. So she's a physician, that's a given, but also she wants to help improve the world, which is, whether you agree with Leon Trotsky's vision or not, that's what he wanted to do.
Was his motivation.
Right.
So is that your motivation in pursuing a career in bringing science to the lay population?
Yeah, that's got to be a very strong motivation. Early in my college career, at first I was pre-med. I thought I wanted to be a doctor, and then I was a pre-science. I thought I wanted to be a biochemist. I worked in a cancer research lab. Nothing really clicked until I got the idea that maybe I could combine my interest in writing with my interest in science. Since then, I have enjoyed it.
Excellent. Well, I think that the contribution you're making in LEMS is going to be really important, and I certainly hope we can work with you at the Center for Science Outreach to maximize the potential of both.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Bill Snyder, thank you for joining us for Snacks for the Brain. And y'all, as always, check out the website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO for more about the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach. Also, be sure and check the show notes site at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com. See ya!